I pray that what the Lord has given me to say today will edify you. And I'm grateful for your being here and confident, humbly confident in what the Lord wants to do today. I hope you came with a sense of expectation. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not going to try to, you know, wow you with oratory and all kinds of, you know, amazing illustrations and things like that. I just want to come and give Jesus the opportunity to really do business with each of us here today. I think that's what we came for. Is that what you came for? Praise God. And so I just want to try my best to get out of His way and just let His Word speak with all the power that it has. I got a newsletter from Jews for Jesus this week, and it was really cool because there's a testimony in there that I thought was very pertinent to what we're going to talk about today. The caption of it is persistent or pushy. You guys know that there's a difference when you're sharing the gospel with someone, when you're talking to someone about your faith, about the things of God. Would you agree that there's a difference between being persistent versus being pushy? Yeah, night and day, night and day. God wants us to be persistent, amen? He doesn't want us to be passive. He doesn't want us to be pushy either. He wants us to be persistent. That takes a little bit of faith, takes a little courage. Persistence against resistance. This is what the guy said. The author, I think it's Bruce Rapp. Yes. He works for Jews for Jesus out in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said basically he was in a bookstore one day, just a secular bookstore, and he was looking for wondering if they had a section on Judaica. In other words, books about the Jewish faith, Jewish culture, things like that. So he asked the clerk at the counter, "Do you guys have a Judaica section?" And a Jewish woman happened to be standing there at the counter checking out her products. And she said, "Well, by the way, if you really want to check out some great books about Judaism," she mentioned her synagogue, which was local in town. And she said, "Come on over to there. They have a bookstore within the synagogue. They've got some great selections." So he thanked her for it. And they smiled and, you know, exchanged, you know, greetings. And she went on out and he did his business in the store. And when he came out, he happened to see her standing in front of his Jews for Jesus van that has on the side of the van, Jews for Jesus, and just shaking her head in disgust about it. Apparently it really upset her, not realizing that it was his van. So he came out and greeted her. He said, "Hey, you know, how you doing? That's my van and everything. Could we talk about this a little bit sometime? Could we maybe get together?" And she was really kind of hesitant. She said, "Well, you know, if you have anything you want to say to me, we can talk about it right now. You know, I'm frankly not really interested, but if you have something that just burning inside of you, you got to tell me. I'm all ears, hit me. But frankly, I'm not interested in getting together." So he went ahead and talked. And actually, the conversation went on for about a half an hour. And really piqued her curiosity. She was like, you know, maybe this isn't all that bad. And he said, he offered her a book. And he says, "By the way, I've got this book. It's called The Last Jew of Rotterdam." And it was a testimony about Jews who had suffered during the Holocaust, horrible, horrendous things, and had later come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior and had received healing and salvation and all that through there. I don't think he explained that to her. But she said she loved to read, and she thanked him for the book. And he said, "You know, I know you said you didn't want to get together, but would you mind if I just called you after you read it to see what you thought about the books? I'm just curious about your thought." So she said, "Okay, sure." Gave him her number. So a few days go by, and he gives her a call. And her name was Phoebe, by the way. She's from Chicago. And she said she read the entire book in one night. Could not put it down. Was just captured by it, and she was extremely curious about this Jesus thing. So he said, "Well, I know you didn't want to get together. Do you mind if we just have coffee somewhere sometime?" She said, "Actually, I would love that. And they set a date for him to come over to her house and have coffee together. So he goes over there, and she just couldn't get enough. She had a million questions. He goes over to the house, and he opens the Bible and starts talking about Nicodemus from the Gospel of John. And he could see the Holy Spirit at work, touching her, working on her heart, breaking down her defenses. And he gave her an invitation, and she prayed to receive Christ there at the table over coffee. She actually also went to the Bible, began going to the Bible study that he attended on that particular night, and just became a very devout, committed, on fire Christian. Now, he could have simply, as soon as she resisted, he could have said, well, she's not interested. I'm not going to embarrass myself or embarrass her and push this thing, you know, and just been passive and simply walked away. He didn't have to offer her the book. He didn't have to ask whether she wanted to talk sometime or get together for coffee. He didn't have to ask for her phone number. He could have just given her the book, and like most of us do, we give it and then we run, you know. Oh, Lord, please, you know, let her read the book, and, you know, that's the end of it. I'll never see her again. He could have been completely passive, or he could have been pushy. He could have said, well, you know, don't you realize you're on your way to hell? Don't you realize that if you die today, you will burn forever and ever in the lake of fire? That would have warmed her up to Christ. But he was gently persistent. Gently persistent. And look at the fruit that God brought out of that. I want to talk today about persistence against resistance. Now, I see you guys here in church every week. That leads me to believe that you kind of like Jesus. You know, you're kind of into this Jesus thing a little bit. I get the impression that maybe you might even like to see others put their faith in him and get saved, possibly. Anybody kind of, you know, got that heart state of mind? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to talk today then, if that's the case, I want to talk about us being persistent against resistance. Because anytime you want to step out in faith and advance the kingdom of God, whether in your own life, you know, personal growth and really trying to walk with Christ a little deeper, a little stronger, or whether you want to reach out into the community and connect with other people who don't know Christ and share your faith with them, share the everlasting faith with them, you're going to meet resistance. Amen? Satan does not like you invading his territory and taking spoils. He wants to keep whatever he has for himself. He doesn't want to see you grow. He doesn't want to see you advance or mature in the Lord. He doesn't want to see you begin to step out and use your gifts. He wants you to stagnate and keep you occupied and frustrated and running around and depressed and defeated. And he does not want the kingdom of God to advance. So when you make up your mind that you're going to go out and make an impact for the kingdom of God in your community or even in your life, you're bound to meet some resistance from the enemy. There's going to be a fight. So I want to talk today a little bit more about how to be ready for that fight, so we don't get discouraged when we meet it, so that we can persist until we see the victory that God sent us out to obtain. In the kingdom of God, it's been said, the rewards are sure for those who endure. Have you ever heard that? I made it up last night. So it's been said. I'm not lying. But it's true, the rewards are sure for those who endure. It's all throughout Scripture. Jesus said, whoever endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Paul told people, you know, Timothy, I believe, to continue in faith, and near the end of his own life, when he was in prison the second time, right before he died, he said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. Didn't just start it. Didn't go halfway and poop out and go, you know, go get a snack and a soda. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In spite of everything that hell could throw against him. In spite of persecution, distress, beatings, stonings, unimaginable resistance, Paul persisted. And at the end of the life, he had this testimony. I have finished. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And look at the fruit that God brought about through that. Changed history for Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at that spirit of persistence against resistance. Let's all say that together. Persistence against resistance. Amen. And we're going to see how God brought that to fruition in the lives of Paul and Barnabas when they took the gospel to three different cities in a row. And in each city they met resistance. In fact, escalating resistance. It started out a little bit and then just grew and grew until it was pretty violent. And yet they persevered against the resistance, and God sustained them and brought abundant fruit through that process. So we just want to take a look at that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts 13, verse 48.